Welcome to the Interracial Dawn Podcast. We are fucking back. I'm your host, Leslie Mack, and I am joined, as always, by...
Very white guy.
Please clap.
Yes. Yes. This is your first time joining us. Welcome. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher. Just search Interracial John. That's JAWN.com. Or you can go to our website, interracialjohn.com. And we love feedback.
Yeah. And, you know, regarding that feedback...
Oh my gosh. We're opening the show with an apology.
Well, I kind of think one's due. To the faithful 14, at least.
We are
so sorry.
We are so sorry that we have been away with very little communique about why or when. And I'll be really honest, we didn't expect it to be as long as it was. But Safety Pin Box, as y'all know, has grown, which is a great thing, and also posed a challenge to us.
Definitely.
To find time to really get the show done. And honestly, I'll be really honest, there just came a point where, because of how busy I've become, we had to decide whether the time we had together was going to be spent podcasting or spent reconnecting, because I was on the road so much over this last 6 weeks. And, you know, our relationship health won. And so
we had a rule. We've always had a rule. Yeah. We said from episode one, when we thought no one was listening or would or could listen, we said, we'll do it. We enjoyed it. And we'll keep doing it as long as we keep enjoying it. And it's not viewed as like a task or anything. And this is all, we take full responsibility as us, right? We produce the show. But you're absolutely right that it was given a really finite commodity of time, right? We just didn't have a lot of time. There hasn't been a lot of time.
No.
And again, guys, honest truth, we wrote show notes like three different times.
Yeah,
we intended to podcast.
The last 3 weeks, we had all the show notes done and we were going to do it. And then it was just like, oh.
You came home on a Thursday night and flew out again on a Monday morning.
Yeah.
And we were going to do the show Sunday. We really were. We had the notes ready, but it was just, we couldn't get to it. But so we have our rules for the apology. And I think we've expressed some regret. We explained kind of what went wrong. Absolutely our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Declaration of repentance, you know.
We hope to repent.
We'll do better.
We're going to make this a really long show to start off with.
Well, that's the offer of repair.
We have a lot of things to talk about.
Offer of repair, yep.
And we also have kind of adjusted when we're going to record the show to kind of fit it into our schedule so that it doesn't interfere with the time that we have set aside
for each other. We've made it a slightly different type of commitment. Yeah. We're recording in the middle of the day kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah, but so it's going to be a little different.
And please forgive us. We'll do better.
Keep listening and tell all your friends to listen, because we're going to actually make it happen. But as I was saying, we do love feedback, and you can leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher, and if it's 5 stars, we'll read it here on the air. You can also email us interracialjohn@gmail.com, and you can pick up your phone and dial 657 Johners at 657 JAWNERS, and leave us a voicemail, and if it's under 3 minutes, we'll play it here on the air. And shout out to Rod and Karen from the Black Guy Who Tips for our general feedback rules.
And did we have any email or feedback in that regard?
There was no emails. We didn't get any emails.
Well, you know what we do have?
What's that? Oh shit.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I shall do that.
One, two, three, four, ain't got shit.
Five stars.
Yeah, we gotta re-record that shit clip so bad.
It's so
like
good.
Bottoming out. But we did get a pair, a couple of reviews. So thank you very much. We appreciate it. Actually, it didn't quite like shame guilt us, but we felt a little shame about like feedback, and a few people tweeted us and we'll mention as well. But this is from Daniel Pearson. A show I can relate to. I'm also a very white guy in a multiracial marriage. Oh, congratulations. And I love listening to Drew and Leslie talking about the kinds of topics that come up in my family. I only just recently started listening to this and the White Privilege podcast, and I relate with them, yet they're different enough for me that I still learn and grow. Thanks for your show. Well, thank you, Daniel Pearson. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks for that. We appreciate that.
5 stars. And this one is from Mac Daly, Work Drowning.
That's probably Mac Daly, I bet.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Mm. Mac Daly, thank you for the... I've corrected my white enunciation. Hi there. I just started listening to your podcast, and I tune in at work since I have a detail-oriented position where everything can be distracting. The stories keep me anxious, my anxious mind busy so it doesn't consume me at work. Oh, that's cool. Great to hear. I totally dig that.
That's dope. I
listen
to podcasts while I'm working.
I was going to say, we
when
do
I'm
the
doing
same
design
thing.
Work in particular, I listen to podcasts because
my eyes
are very, like, I don't know. It's a different part of my brain than comprehending the podcast, so I can actually do that and do the design work at the same time.
Yeah, there's been a couple different my career has moved away from that type of work, but sometimes you gotta just, you know, do various things like spreadsheets or moving data, or there's just something we had to do with a video file. We had to go into like 1,000 different URLs and copy this little like asset ID thing and put it in a spreadsheet for this other deal, and it just had to get done, and I was like, wow, this friggin' sucks. I'm just gonna spend many hours this week doing it, and let me just put some podcasts or some music on. So I totally get it. That's I know you hate it, but I like EDM, dubstep, tribal,
that's
like
I don't know
like,
what the fuck that is, but whatever.
Well, for me, it keeps my brain like I don't know, completely dead ass focused.
Sure.
I was talking with a friend of ours who's got someone in the armed service military, and they were talking about what this relative of theirs does, and it was exactly related to my master's thesis. It was kind of funny.
Oh, that's funny.
Like vigilance in armed service monitoring, like literally like staring at a screen for fucking hours waiting for something to change,
and then behavioral
being able to see that change and like not be asleep and shit.
Right.
Oh, but like I did like some base level shit, like
they're doing like high level mind manipulation.
Yeah, this dude was using drugs and shit. Like, was doing the like measurements against like, now let's give them a bunch of speed and see if they can do it for 24 hours.
Of course.
But that was 20 years ago. Maybe the military's worse now.
I was going to say, it's definitely probably not better. So there's that.
And there were no voicemails or nothing?
No voicemails.
Okay. Well, thank you for the feedback.
Thank you. We really appreciate them.
Thank you very much.
Very, 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 very much.
So we have a lot.
So much that has been going on. Obviously, we've had a lot of time to do lots of things. And actually, I probably can't even remember all the things that we did. But one of the big things that happened was that The Daily Show came here to our house in Grand Rapids to film a segment about Safety Pin Box. And Marissa was here from Seattle, and also our assistant Paige was here as well from Minneapolis. And
ooh, and it was Roy. Roy was the.
It was Roy Wood Jr.
Hilarious,
who
dude.
Was the correspondent that came out, and it was really fun. I mean, it was so fun. He spent a lot of time just talking to me and Marissa in like an interview format, and then there was a little bit of a shoot that was us like putting boxes together.
Listen. Sort of so this sounds crazy, but like if y'all knew our house, like people come and like, oh, you have such a nice house. I know we're gonna sell it at some point. I hope the buyers don't listen to John, but we fucking hate this house. Like we've talked about Joffrey. It's like possessed. There's like there are other issues. There's like, fuck this house. But people are like, oh my god, it's so great.
It's so cute.
Fuck this house.
Whatever.
So our house was on Vice when Vice News was out here, and that to me was a trip. And I was like, wow, it's kind of like crazy. And they came with three people from Vice News, and maybe one of them was a cameraman, one was the talent, and one was like a producer. And then they hired a couple of audio dudes, but by and large, it wasn't a big production. This Daily Show.
These Daily Show people, they're the real deal.
They came with vans.
They have vans.
Plural, man.
They like staged my house and shit. I was like, you know, it kind of looks cute like this. They covered the windows.
Do you remember? I don't know if you noticed that we saw one of the camera people picking up like debris and shit.
Yeah, we're like, what is he doing?
Because they're getting front of the house shots.
They were getting front of the house shots, and it needed to be like perfectly clean. I was
like,
damn.
Picking up like debris in the
yard. I mean, we cut the lawn. I didn't think it was like, you know.
Well, listen, we can't talk about The Daily Show being here and not talk about the incident because it was fucking hilarious in some ways.
Yeah, so
I'm here, but and it's my house, but I'm kind of like making myself kind of like absent. I don't need to be like involved and around and in the way.
And you weren't feeling well.
And I wasn't, but like nevertheless, I'm just outside or on my computer. It wasn't like a big deal. But I know what's going on. It's you, Marissa, Safety Bin Box, The Daily Show. Like they sent Roy as the correspondent. Like it's going to be like, I even think they titled the placard like the clicky thing, white guilt. Like,
yeah.
So like, I'm, and you know me, I'm like fucking like, that's like duck off of waters back with me. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm good with what I do and how I do and dismantling systems. And like, I don't take all that shit like on the chin kind of stuff. Right. But I know a lot of people do. Right.
Especially white people.
White people. I should say a lot of white people do, especially when you talk really like bluntly and you and Marissa, like, you're not here for the fucking like
no,
equivocation.
No, and also like Roy kind of wanted us to play the, like, the straight man in the conversation. He's the, you know, he's the talent.
He's
the
comedian. Yeah.
Right. So me and Marissa were just very like straight face and just like talked shit about white people for like 3.5 hours straight.
But
just like, y'all ain't shit. And I don't know what you're doing.
Not just for the show, but like at like lunch break.
Oh yeah.
Marissa's sitting in the porch with fucking Roy, just like trashing white,
like,
people.
Literally,
fucking mad.
The whole day was just like, oh my God, white people are such trash. And they don't even know how trash they are.
All right, so
and blah, blah,
that's
blah.
That's important for the context. And so is the difference between the two different productions, which we mentioned before. So the Daily Show, they also brought a lot of their own people, a cameraman, the talent, a producer, another person, but they also outsourced and hired a lot of people.
They hired a PA who was here getting like lunch and shit for people. They had a
one or two sound guys,
another camera person that they hired locally, because also they were going to Detroit to film with one of our subscribers.
Right.
So they had that crew from Michigan
for a couple of days
to do, you know, the two shoots.
And that is my understanding with production of this nature, that like audio is a commodity. You can just hire an audio tech anywhere and they'll give you good audio. And to their credit, the guy they sent to do the audio was a black dude.
Yeah.
So this whole like trashing white people, like, no big deal to him, right? One of the production PAs is out getting sandwiches, so she's not really hearing it, or like, you know, she kind of knew her lane kind of thing. But the other dude,
and she was a woman,
and she was a
woman.
White woman, yeah. But the other guy
was
the
white guy,
and he's in there like in the mix, listening to shit all damn day. So one of the segments that I was actually a part of, we're folding, they're getting like some like production, like, watch you guys fold boxes kind of thing. And the, again, same kind of like making fun of white people. There's a white guy here. You know, I got a white guy. Come on. There's all these like jokes he did. But you finish what happened next, because it's too much.
So we're all sitting at our dining room table, literally like having like, putting boxes together. One of us is putting the tissue paper in. One of us is putting the stuff in it. One of us is sticking it. One of us is closing it and labeling it. Like, that whole thing process. So me, Marissa, Paige, and Drew.
And they've got their camera person getting like detailed shots of each of our faces and hands. So the hired camera person has a easier job of just like one static shot of Roy, of the talent. Right.
So the producer, they also, which is something, this is another thing that Vice didn't have. The producer had like
a monitor, two monitors actually to see both
of the cameras, like big monitors,
headphones, like the whole thing.
And she's like, hey, I need you to focus. The focus isn't right. Like,
her first one was watch your focus.
Watch your focus.
Mm-hmm. And then
as we started doing things, like, it wasn't in focus still. So she would, because we were just shooting the shit for most of that time, just like talking. Roy had like a little bit he did with
it. It's almost like, I wouldn't call it B-roll, but like, I understand how they produce these things now, and they get a lot of footage in a lot of different ways, right, and then they put it together. So this
anyways, that's neither here nor there. They're doing this stuff, and we're literally all talking and building the boxes.
Right.
And all of a sudden, as she said it a third time, like,
I think
hey,
the third one was watch your
focus.
And then her second one was she's out of focus, and she said like a little bit under her breath, like, I can't even use it. Like, but she's being honest.
Right.
Like, this is footage, and she's looking at the fucking monitor.
And
like,
she's like, no.
And she's the fucking producer.
Right, she's a producer. She's the boss on the set. She's
and like, you're hired contract. Like, you got hired. But the thing here is, he didn't know what he was getting hired for.
Right. He got hired for the Daily Show. He didn't know that he was going
to
sit
up to this
and listen to me and Marissa bash white people for 3.5 hours. So all of a sudden I hear, because he was standing next to my shoulder behind me, I hear, I'm trying to fucking focus.
It was something.
What?
It was like, I'm trying to fucking focus. All right, fuck with you. It was just like,
and like a pit, like the whole room went like silent.
It was so weird.
And I was like looking around, like, did this shit just happen? Then he had to like go and like apologize to her in front of everybody. I don't know. It was just the weirdest shit. And like,
and then
I
had to go work with him for another day.
Right. And I don't think that he went with him the next day. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I doubt that.
0% chance
he
was
there.
You're right about that.
So then I'm like, you know, looking around like, shit, that's crazy. And I was like, oh, this guy was in his feelings. He couldn't say shit all day. And it like all but just like burst all out on the producer.
On a woman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's of note too.
Yeah.
You know, he wouldn't have done that to a white dude.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was really fun, and we're very excited to see the final product. Nervous. I'm nervous, but excited. But it should be out either next week, literally, or a month from then, July 19th.
Yeah, I'm just like honestly, like, and this is not your fault at all. There's no appropriation or blame here, but like you and Marissa just doing your thing probably like might have ended this dude's career with this company. Because like if they're
that's not my problem. No, that's your problem. Not what happened.
That's his problem.
Me and Marissa didn't end anything. White supremacy did. And that's the God's honest truth. Because white supremacy don't know how to act.
He wouldn't have been in his
white
feels.
Supremacy. Yeah. White supremacy don't give a shit that your job is on the line. It will do the wrong thing every fucking time.
He a Trumper, I'm sure.
If he live here, he is. Yes. Anyways.
Dumbass.
So that was that. And that's really fun. Well, of course, it'll be all of our social media when it should, airs.
I think he said it might be this week. And if it's not, you said July, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where else have you been? You've been a bunch of places. This isn't even everywhere. Because we went to, between our last show.
Oh, yeah, we went to Toronto. Yeah, we went to Toronto for a few days. That was really fun. I got my hair done. That was like my highlight of the trip. But we did get to see Clove and Shirley. We got to see Rev Sekou play with the Mississippi, yep. North Mississippi All-Stars, which was pretty dope. And yeah, so that was really fun. Let's see. What else happened?
You went to San Francisco for a hot minute.
Oh yeah, I went to San Francisco for like 2 seconds to speak at TechCrunch Sessions Justice. So they have these TechCrunch Sessions. They're kind of like all day, like, I don't know, workshop conferences. And they've had different like topics. The next one is on robotics, but this one was on justice. So I got to ask to come and talk about white people and allyship. And so I had like, it was like a fireside chat type of thing. So that was pretty cool. I think that I'll have video of that soon. So I'll make sure I share that everywhere. That was really cool to go to, and had a bunch of other cool people. Y'all should follow Gemini Matt on Twitter. That's Matt Mitchell, and he's like a crypto specialist for movement folks. So he teaches like classes to keep Black movement leaders like safe on the internet and things like that. So Jeff, definitely check him out. He has a new project that's coming out soon that's pretty cool. He's so smart and so talented. It makes me so happy to get to spend time with him. Also, he's Mo Mitchell's brother, so that family is quite spectacular. Let's see. That's what I did. I think that's everything that we did, right? Like, as far as like traveling.
I'm sure
and
there's
stuff.
More in there. You spoke here in Grand Rapids.
Oh, I did. I spoke here in Grand Rapids.
There's been a lot.
Yeah, it's been a ton of shit. Anyway, so.
That's, you know, I didn't talk about this. I guess it technically happened before the show we recorded like a month ago. Mm. We were at the White Privilege Conference, but there was an attendee there that was a speaker at my former high school, New Trier. And she had referenced a controversy. And I was like, controversy? Like, what's going on? Like, I didn't know there was any controversy. So I don't know exactly how it, I think the article doesn't give the genesis of it, but I believe what happened is that there was 1 year where they had a bunch of snow days and they couldn't get to school. And there's like some mandatory, you have to have so many days of school. You have to be in school, right?
Your
like,
hands are great. The state, staying in touch.
Oh, what's that?
This right. thing's playing ads. So the fact that you have to be in school so many days, they have to actually physically go to class. And I don't know how or why, and probably because white supremacy, ended up like, okay, MLK Day, we're going to have to go to class.
So they made them go to class.
Made them go, but instead of
snow days.
Instead of going to actually, they had to be in school.
Got it.
Not necessarily their classes, right? Gotcha. But since they're having to be at school and they took MLK Day away from them, they ended up doing a bunch of like, you know, speakers for MLK Day, like workshops and sessions on race and equity and justice and stuff. And it was like a big hit with the students and the staff. And I don't know anything about that, but it was like a year ago. So now they're trying to make it into like an annual thing. Like, okay, this worked out really well.
Right, like constantly.
Yeah, let's not take away MLK Day. Let's take another day if we don't have a bajillion snow days or just whatever, we're going to do it. Like, they did this when I was in high school. Like,
We had, I think, they did it at Emma Willard during Revels Week when the seniors were practicing Revels. We'd have, like, I think 1 year it was on, like, the environment. 1 year it was on, like, different things. And they had, like, 3 days. It was basically, like, all-day assemblies.
Okay.
Type of thing.
Got it. So there's some brouhaha and some controversy now surrounding this civil rights seminar day that New Trier, and like I I'm gonna give them a ding because like I know New Trier and like they're having like a civil rights seminar day, like yeah.
Well, actually, they need to.
I know they need to, but I'm a little bit like, not like blown away, but like, well, and here, this other part makes an awful lot more sense. So Wilmette Filmmakers documentary purporting to reveal the machinations behind protests at NewChur's recent civil rights seminar day has been put on hold due to legal threats.
Legal threats?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Say what?
So I won't read the whole article, but in
what's
short,
the gist of it?
Conservative people protested the civil rights day complaining that it was too liberal, the agenda, and it didn't address any conservative viewpoints at all.
Conservative viewpoints about racism?
And they were mad that they didn't have any conservative views there. So they protested this day. And now they're worried that the movie's going to portray them in a bad light. And
no
they don't
shit.
Want this to come out.
Of course. Those fucking assholes.
The purpose of this legal warning is that we don't know what's in this movie, but based
You're
on the trailer.
In the movie,
listen. But based on the trailer, it's suggestive of making us look like bad people.
Because you are. Also, the truth. You want them to lie about your trifling.
Wilmette resident Daryl Butler.
Daryl Butler.
If you ever know Daryl Butler,
fuck
Wilmette,
you, Daryl Butler.
We want him to be on notice. He can't just hide behind the First Amendment. That just like that's Butler, the conservative, suing the filmmaker, saying the filmmaker can't hide behind the First Amendment right of filming this, showing this thing. Like, I just feel like, but this was you. You did this. Did this not happen?
It's incredible.
It's your fucking like. You and your words and your fucking mouth and like literally, like how is that painting you in a bad light using your fucking actual words and image that came out your fucking mouth?
Right.
How is that libelous?
Absolutely.
And then like, he can't hide behind the First Amendment right. What the fuck? What kind of logic is that? The fuck?
I thought y'all were constitutionalists. What the fuck is happening here? Anyways.
Well, but listen, there's a deeper, just the last little piece before I'm going to move on. Dan Proft, who is a really fucking like, a local, almost like Rush Limbaugh kind of character.
Uh-huh.
He's actually trying to get some very conservative people elected into office onto the like NewChur board, and he's kind of behind a little bit of the agenda of the people that were protesting. Like, I guess he's even got like a radio program. It was like, you know, this is terrible. You should protest us. Ah, wah, 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 wah.
Oh,
but Dan Proft is a local, like Chicago, like
trash,
fucking loudmouth piece of shit.
Awesome,
yeah.
That's great. Well, just so happens we're recording today and it's Loving Day, June.
I know.
Oh no, Loving Day is tomorrow, I think. The 12th.
Today's the 12th.
Today's the 12th.
Happy Loving Day.
I guess. I always have like really conflicted feelings about Loving Day. Like, I think it's weird for, I don't know. I can't quite articulate why it's weird. I just find it to be weird because it's like this weird thing where I don't know what we're celebrating exactly. Because it feels weird to call it like, oh, the right to marry somebody of another race. Like, I don't know. There's like a way that it can be taken like and portrayed in a very anti-black way. And I don't like that about it. And I feel like I've seen a lot of that over the years.
Hmm.
And
the thing that I see more of besides that is like usually white people that are with black partners that are almost too exuberant. You know, like, I don't know. Like, there's a line of like, I can't. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's just something that's like...
Like, I don't find being an interracial couple something like that needs to be celebrated.
Well,
like, and I think it's weird that it would be. Like, I just think that's what my problem is with it. Exactly. That's exactly my problem with it. Like, I'm obviously in an interracial relationship, but I don't think it's like that. That our interracialness is what makes our relationship special,
yeah, so,
superb, or worth and celebrating. And I guess that's where I come into a problem.
I hear you. And I would say I'm not, you know, without trying to like disavow anyone else's experience, just because ours is maybe different. Like, you and I fell in love with one another and just happened to be in an interracial relationship. Like, that wasn't something we like set out to do or discuss or had problems with. It was just like, oh, we, you know, fell in love with each other. Whereas I think I know folks that are like, you know, maybe had a dating preference, or they're in there falling in love. There's like, oh, they're, you know, family. They had to cross like lines and taboo. And like, that isn't any of our experience. So maybe Loving Day for other people has a different, you know, je
maybe,
ne sais quoi.
Even in both of those cases, I like, that's not something to celebrate then.
You know,
you see what I'm saying?
I hear
like
you.
It's still, it's not like a judgment thing. I'm just giving my perspective on it.
I'm with you.
Because I've had a few people, like a lot of people will send me shit about Loving Day. Like, oh, look at this Loving Day thing, or it's Loving Day. Or I got actual messages today. Happy Loving Day. And I just think it's weird.
Yeah, there's people that are in my life.
It was a whole Loving Day festival here.
Yeah, I know.
Over the weekend.
I know. And
it's too much. I don't get it.
I don't want to say, you know, listen, I don't know. I'm not disagreeing with I'm not disavowing of your opinion. I I kind of on some level I get it a little bit, but I also in the same way, like I'm trying to think of an analogy, like the people that say like, oh, you interracial folks are going to have beautiful mixed babies that are going to solve racism and make the earth perfect. Like there's those folks that are a little bit like, wah, wah, wah.
Well, that brings me to actually a piece that I pulled up to talk about this time. It's a opinion piece by a woman named Cheryl Cashin.
Okay.
And it's how interracial love is saving America.
I see. That's dead ass. That's right where I'm.
So she goes on to posit. There's, I guess, now some evidence that let me see if I can find the exact thing.
And what
that it says, a small study of whites married to blacks documented increased understanding of racism, and those married to non-black minorities were likely to experience a shift in their thinking about immigration. The transition from blindness to sight, from anxiety to familiarity, is a process of acquiring cultural dexterity. That's in quotes. Love can make people do uncomfortable things like meeting a black lover's family and being the only white person in the room. Culturally dexterous people have an enhanced capacity for intimate connections with people outside their own tribe, for recognizing and accepting difference rather than pretending to be colorblind. And if one undertakes the effort, the process is never ending. One need not marry or adopt a person of another race to experience transformational love. Close friendships, groups across group boundaries have been shown to reduce prejudice, ease anxiety, and enhance willingness to engage in the future.
I mean, you need a study to tell you that like familiarity with other people are going to fucking make you less fucking fuck-ass with those other people.
Of course,
oh my God. What, like, you know. And
well, yeah, but it's speaking to a very specific type of interaction, right?
True.
Because people will say that like, oh, I come in contact with black people all the time, wherever they live. And then when they do something like a power mapping and I go, okay, in all of your interactions today with people of color, who was in the position of power? And they say, I was in them 100% of the time. That means you actually don't have any black people in your life. Right. So I think that they're trying to make a very specific distinction. It's not just, oh, being next to people of color will make you less racist, because that's not true at all. OK, because we can go back to slavery and know that not to be true. Right. We can go to the Jim Crow days where people had black people in their homes taking care of them and their children, but still were racist as fuck. So this is very specific, having a familial link, whether that through love, friendship, parental, having that type of relationship is transformative, which I think is very true. But also, I don't think it's something to be celebrated either.
Yeah,
so that's why I saw this thing, and it's been very like, you know, it was written because of Loving Day. So that's why I was reading it.
Yeah, I got you.
But I just think it's very interesting.
You know, if you're into this like Gladwell 10,000 hours theory thing, if you need 10,000 hours, you've got 30,000, I don't want to say your age, but however many thousand hours you have as a black woman of experience, you're more than an expert. By being married to you, it like gets me proximity to, like I've even said that on like Twitter and other people, like everything I know is probably directly from you or related to you in some way. And, you know, all I have is a strong bond with you, and I'm able to get to the bottom of some of my fuckery in a very comfortable and safe place because of a marriage. And a lot of folks don't have that, and like that's an advantage in like my journey from A to Z.
And I think it comes, it's even, I think that that's very true. And I also feel like there's a thing like when you love somebody and you don't want to see them in pain, right? And you see how they react and how painful it is to like receive microaggressions, to receive those types of things that are harmful with relation to race. Like you have like emotionally, like in your brain, a very different sensor that wants you to look out for that.
Yeah, thing. Absolutely.
It's a very different danger to you.
It's like
than it is when it's just like, oh, it's bad for black people generally.
It's like,
right?
It's like how we normally protect white women. Right.
Yes.
That same instinct to protect white women like blindly and unconditionally, you have that for your family and your loved ones. And that makes perfect sense. But I forget the way to frame this, and you can maybe help me. But like if interracial coupling was going to actually solve racism, then like heterosexual pairing for the last millennia should have solved patriarchy. Right.
Hello.
Is that not like the right way to frame
that?
No,
that's a good framing, I think, for sure.
Because this is not the answer.
It's never the answer.
It's not going to be the answer. You know, and then like as soon as like people talk about like, oh, you're gonna have such beautiful mix, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, great, thanks for like you're setting them up for a world of colorism and like you think,
and like fetishizing them, like the whole thing is just weird and gross.
Yeah, in fact, right when we got on, I think we might have even talked on this podcast before, when we first, at least when I first got on Twitter with our handle Interracial John, like 7 out of 10 things were like oddly fetish, like just like swirl world this and interracial dating that, and it would just be like, what is this? Like, I remember one had a Google thing and I went into it and I was like, what the fuck, this is creepy.
Well,
as
I'll
hell.
Tell you the other side of that is that, you know, Marissa and I have talked not recently, but we've talked generally speaking about how our personal familial connections with white people, her mom is white, you're obviously, my husband and you're white, have not only made us experts in, you know, race and racism because we're black women, but also because I feel like I have a unique vantage point on how white people react to trying to be better and be different and change because of you. And so when I say things, when they relate to like putting a task together or having a conversation and answering questions that white people have, I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I'll harken back often to moments that you and I have shared or things that we've kind of talked about and how we've been able to get you to understand them to help me articulate it better for other white people. So
I guess there's been a mutually beneficial relationship then.
Well,
in some
I mean
ways.
That and
I've gained a lot more.
Nobody,
I'm sure.
Nobody bothers me at the airport when you're with me. So
yeah, that my whiteness, is intersected with my largeness.
That's true. You're a big white dude. That's true. Regard.
So tell the people you've got a MLK sit-in again,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so MLK sit-in is back, people. Myself and the amazing Feminista Jones are making this an annual thing as we announced last year. So this is the second annual. And it's going to be Sunday, July 23rd. We have our call for organizers open right now. You can go to MLKsitin.com to just check out the information. You don't have to have been an organizer before. And this is just a day that we've set aside to kind of have a celebration of the message of MLK. And we have people choose in their local cities an MLK named location. So whether it's a park or some people did a library or a boulevard or a specific street or anything like that. And we wanted to kind of reclaim his legacy, take away the whitewashing and ahistorical revisions of his life and his work, and make a statement in unity across the country. But honest unity. And so it's really, really amazing. I'm really excited to do it again. Again, you can go to mlksitin.com for details and to sign up to be an organizer. And we provide lots of tools and you get both mine and Feminista's expertise at planning events and direct actions to help you. So for sure, sign up if you're interested. I think we had 29 or so last year. We're hoping to have one in every single state this year. So definitely check it out.
All right. So I miss Vine. I don't think this will play right. Uh-huh.
So. When you don the skin of the beast, the man within dies. One of the boys in my group home always said that. He died.
He said the best lines. He had that one where he was like, I will shoot them. I will stab them. I will claw their eyes out. I will talk them into killing themselves. I was like, Jesus, Jared, my goodness.
When you don the skin of the beast, a piece inside of you dies. And that, I think that's apropos for Budweiser Prohibition. What the fuck is Budweiser Prohibition?
Why would
non-alcoholic Budweiser?
Like, nobody wants to drink alcoholic beer. That's why nobody drinks O'Doul's, and it just sits in restaurants' coolers till the end of time because they want to say they have non-alcoholic options.
I think I tweeted something like
literally.
I think I tweeted something like Budweiser normally tastes like piss. Why would you drink non-alcoholic Budweiser? And almost within like seconds, someone's like, "You know what piss tastes like?" I was like, "God damn it." You've been drinking piss? I'm like, yeah, I walked into that. But no, I have not been drinking piss. But Budweiser is piss.
It certainly smells like it. So.
What's the classic Budweiser joke is it's like trying to fuck in a canoe. Oh, no, it's like trying to have sex in a canoe.
What's that mean?
It's fucking close to water.
That's funny.
Because it is. It's literally like water. I don't know why anyone would drink. And then like the people I see drink Budweiser and like Natty Light, like I know they drink like 18 of them. That's like, you don't have to
drink. Why bother with that?
You could drink like six of like a different beer. Yeah. Budweiser.
I don't get it.
And I think like, I'm not, again, like, I'll be honest. I don't, beer tears me up my inside. So I can't drink light fucking beer. Like if I want to have a beer that actually like at my 250 pound frame, like to catch any kind of buzz, like I need one or two, like 10 to 12% alcohol beers. And Budweiser is like 4%, like 4.2 or something. It's ridiculous.
It's just meant for people that drink a lot. And like, that's it. I don't know. It's gross.
I've never enjoyed a Budweiser.
And it's cheap, I guess, so there's that.
There's not a single Budweiser I've ever been like, oh, even on like a hot fucking like beach, like, man, it's hot as shit. Like, I got a Budweiser. Okay. You know, it still tastes like shit. But anything else to catch up on?
No, I think that's it. Let's get into it.
The news is coming on. The news is
So this next one, it really is nothing to talk about other than to look at this picture. I don't know if you can pull it up, Leslie, but no, the one above that, the one dead and nine hospitalized with botulism after eating nacho cheese sauce.
Oh, no. Where?
Yeah. Well, click on the link and take a look.
Oh, you deserve botulism.
Thank
if you. Eat nacho cheese
you got to put this on the jaws so people can see it.
No.
I know you can't see a picture on the podcast.
This
but
is ridiculous.
If ever there was a fucking place
you
wouldn't eat anything out of. Like, you wouldn't fucking, like, wow. I don't think I'd get gas from this fucking
like,
place.
Like, literally,
10 people ate nacho cheese from this, John, man. Mm. It's literally just looks horrendous. Mm. Valley Oak Food and Fuel. Mm-mm. No, no. Not at all. It was in California. It literally just like...
Let me write this. If you ate...
you deserve botulism.
Nacho cheese.
But somebody died.
From a place.
I'm just saying somebody died. It looks atrocious.
That looks like this.
You kind of...
What do you expect? That's what I'm going to put.
Botulism.
Let me just share the link.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. I tweeted almost the exact same thing when I tweeted it for the John. I was like, holy shit. If you ate anything, much less nacho cheese sauce from this place, you are likely going to get sick. I'm sorry one of you died, but good Lord.
My Lord. That's terrible.
Mm.
Okay, I've tweeted it, and...
there's no other way to describe it other than
you
wouldn't fucking eat a thing. You wouldn't fuck... I wouldn't scrape this shit off my heel on the fucking curve of this place. It looks horrible.
Can you play the next one? It's my thing, but it's about this town in New Jersey that was that denied a mosque permit and has just been ordered to pay an Islamic group $3.25 million in a settlement. So if you could play it, that'd be great.
Nope, there's going to be an ad first, maybe.
Of course there is.
Let's see here. Nope, wait.
Somerset County, where Bernards Township is going to pay an Islamic group more than $3 million to settle a discrimination lawsuit. The Islamic Society of Basking Ridge sued Bernards Township last year, claiming the town changed its zoning ordinances so it could turn down the mosque.
Motherfuckers.
As part of the deal, the Department of Justice says the town is now also required to allow the mosque to be built.
Bada boom. That's the kind of retribution.
Can I just say that white supremacy... like literally flies in the
stupid.
Face of all common sense.
You changed the fucking zoning to deny a mosque and ended up having to give them $3.25 million to build the mosque
in
your town.
And then the mosque is going to be there anyways,
you
bitches.
Dumbasses.
You know, that happened to the mosque that we got to visit
in Voorhees
yep. that they had the same opposition. That they
absolutely.
Were like, nope, you can't build a mosque here. Can you imagine? Just like you can't build a church.
Your
you can't build
fucking
a place
house
of worship.
Worship.
It's disgusting.
And in South Jersey, this mosque in Voorhees is one of the largest.
Yeah.
You know, and it sees
it's beautiful.
A lot of people because there aren't many mosques to go to.
Yeah.
And we met the imam and everyone there personally. They're in fact, our church, I won't say played a role, but a few
they
of
did.
Our members were active in the state legislature protesting the legislature.
Yeah, they like went to, because you know what happened was the first one they went to, usually when this happens, you go to the board and it's like bling, bling, bloom. You have all your paperwork in order and you go. And then they have like, oh, if anybody wants to, you know, say anything. And all these fucking
racists
fucking came.
People, yeah.
Islamophobes came and they were like, we're from the town. We don't want to hear. And, the Islamic group like just was like, I don't know what to do. One person from our church was there because they had been in contact with the imam about something else, or they were friends with somebody that was on the planning board.
I miss Julie so much.
And they came to our church and were like, look, this is happening. We need your support. And our church went. And so the next time when they had it again before the board, there wasn't just this like large cacophony of douchebags, but an equally large number of people that were like, this is, you know, came up and made their statements about why the mosque should be built and how important it is and blah, blah, blah. So,
and you see that as a, I wouldn't say as a tactic, but you're seeing now like town halls and other places where like even conservative candidates are getting overwhelmed by people that are like, what the fuck are you doing with healthcare? But as a, if you don't go to these things in a vacuum, it's always white supremacists.
Yeah.
It's always the fucking like white male interest that's going to get fucking.
Oh yeah, no doubt. You
know.
Have to, every one of us has to actively, fight against white supremacy in all of our decision and thinking, because it's basically like a base level layer that is seeped into all of the decisions that everybody makes. So yeah, I mean, we have to be very active about it.
Agreed. Well, good for, what's the name of that mosque? Can you lift that up?
Let's see. It doesn't say on
doesn't
this
say.
Note.
Okay. But it's in New Jersey.
But it's in Bernards Township. And it's, the Islamic Society of Basking Ridge. That's
okay.
the name of it.
And that's in Jersey as well.
Yeah, they're both in Jersey.
I just, And the whole fucking Trump comment about fucking Muslims cheering, that's just such bullshit, dude. I fucking, it's one of the other things. So Hallmark now offers cards to congratulate trans people on their transition.
Oh, dope.
And so I actually looked on Twitter to see if there's any sort of like what people had, what trans people I follow had to say about it. And I couldn't find too much, but they have, the article doesn't even have a lot to say, but I'll read it. Most of it is other people's tweets. But card manufacturing giant Hallmark has discovered a new market, transgender people. It can be hard enough to find same-sex Valentine's cards, but think about congratulating a trans friend on starting their transition. It took some time, but at least one card company has caught on. Hallmark's now producing a series of cards aimed explicitly at trans people. Twitter user Renata Sankin found the cards in her local CVS and decided to share the picture on her account. I've never seen Hallmark cards for gender transitioning before. Capitalism triumphs over hate?
Huh.
And so they do use the butterfly, which might be a little bit on the nose, but the article said they're really sweet, if not cliche. Then again, so are a lot of cards. The neutrally green colored card features a butterfly and the slogan, "You're becoming who you've always been," on the front. And when you open it, it reads, "How wonderful is that?" And they have a couple other ones.
I think it's cool because I do think they have cards for every fucking thing, for your mailman's birthday. Yeah. Like, you should have a card for that. If you're into cards, my mom's really into cards. Always has been. When I went to boarding school, she sent me a card every day of boarding school. I would get two on Mondays.
Yeah.
For 4 years, y'all. I don't think you understand what I'm telling you right now.
She's good like that, though. Your mom was pretty dope.
Every day I got a card. Every day.
You know, it's interesting. I have to say this also to Hallmark. And this is, for me, this is actually a really big, of all the pieces here as a data point, this wasn't a press release.
Right.
They were just in the market. Someone discovered this at a CVS.
Yeah.
They didn't try to, and it was obviously, I don't say obviously, but probably smartly timed in advance of Pride and other things, you know.
Sure.
If you're marketing a product, you're not going to like
not
fuck
know
it
when
up.
You're
yeah, yeah.
And but, plus, who knows when it's been. It might have been out longer than we even know.
Too. Yeah, yeah. But I think if there had been a press release, it would have been, right? They clearly didn't make it.
Right.
So when they say capitalism trumps, you know, you're right, maybe there's a little bit of capitalism in there, but
I mean, it is. It's a company.
It's a business.
They made a business decision, but I do think it's important to have those choices.
But but typically when companies make this business decision, what's the opposite of weaponize? They try to like, you know, their strategy includes trying to make this big, huge thing. There's a press about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, are you really doing this thing? Are you trying to like be perceived as doing the thing? And to me, the fact that they didn't make a big to-do out of it makes it less that they're trying to be perceived as doing the right thing, other than they're really trying to do the right thing.
Right.
And I'm with you. There's cards for fucking mail. You're literally, the mailman's got like multiple cards.
Yeah, multiple.
Multiple. Multiple. Mm-hmm. Mail carrier, postal carrier, man, yep. Woman. So why not Hallmark? Why not trans cards? I think it's
absolutely
awesome.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. One of the tweets said, if I'd gotten one of these from somebody, I would have cried all day. I think that sums it up a little bit. It's nice.
That's sweet.
All right.
Let's see. Oh, this was kind of cool news out of Chicago. The first center devoted to victims of police torture opened its doors on Friday. Chicago Torture Justice Center is in Chicago's Englewood neighborhood, and it's the first of its kind in the country. The idea is to cater to the specific needs of victims of police torture. The center offers everything from therapy to counseling and educational resources. Many who come to the center for help were victims of the disgraced Chicago police commander, John Burge, and they say this is necessary to help them get back some of their lives. The center is largely funded by private donations along with the Chicago Public Health Department. Now, what I find interesting about that, and I know we're going to talk about the keepers a little bit later, but it put me in mind of the Catholic Church's response to abuse and how this is something that they should have gone with instead, which is, you know, somebody asked me the other day about, I don't know who it was. Oh, they asked me if I felt like anything had changed with, oh gosh, who is the group that they asked me about? Now I'm not remembering who it was. Anyways, whoever it was, they asked me like, what would be action? And I was like, what would I be satisfied with changes? Oh, it was the NFL. Like, because I was talking about CoverGirl caught. And I was like, you know, I haven't watched the NFL in 2 years since then because they're trash and they continue to prove that they're trash. And somebody said, well, do you think that they've made any changes? I was like, no. And they're like, well, what do you think substantive changes would look like? And I responded immediately. I was like, they would look like the victims and survivors being centered in all of the decision making. Like that's the only thing you're concerned about. And that's not at all what it looks like. And so this is what it could look like, right? When you really are centering the victims and the people and their needs in the decisions that are being made.
Yeah.
So I thought
and
it was kind of cool.
They certainly know what their needs are and they almost always can articulate them. It's just a matter of supplying them with those things they need. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. Then you're right about that. And that's a very succinct, you know, what would be satisfactory. Because even the way you said putting the victims at the center of every decision, I immediately thought about Ray Lewis. Was it Ray Lewis or who did the punch in the
Not
elevator?
Ray Rice.
And the way they handled that, like they made her come in and sit in front of Goodell and with him sitting next to her.
Gross.
Like, oh man, it was terrible. And then even as the video went out, like there's nothing we share more than a black woman getting punched in the face, even a woman punch. It's just, that's like, it was on like a fucking loop.
That
dude.
Was a white woman. They wouldn't have been showing that shit like that. Don't sleep.
Yeah. That one in particular was on loop. It was
no
on a loop.
No way they would have.
It was on every hour on ESPN. Mm-hmm. It was awful. It was on like every channel. But anyway, this guy, you could put this in Black Guy Who Tips, Guess the Race, but it's probably pretty obvious. Man tries to kiss a rattlesnake. Mm-mm. Gets bitten. No. Ron Reinold of Putnam County, Florida, was apparently trying to kiss snake when the serpent took exception to his advances and bit him. Mm-hmm. Neighbor Charles Goff told reporters of Action News Jax, I guess it's Jacksonville, Florida, that his neighbors, multiple. I almost missed that in this story. His neighbors had been playing with the snake when Reinhold decided to try and kiss it.
Why is anybody playing with a fucking snake, though?
I mean, it's in Florida. It's just there.
Uh-oh, is that me? Oh, no, it's mine. Sorry.
So this is the neighbor, Charles Joff, talking to Jax. Ron was actually silly, you know, Goff said. I guess he said he could kiss the devil and get away with it. But evidently he didn't.
He didn't get away with it, though.
Yeah. It's unclear where the snake came from.
You know what?
The backyard.
Like, what are you talking about? Nature? I don't understand what kind of question that is.
It's illegal to keep rattlesnakes in Florida without a permit.
Yeah, but they exist in Florida, right? So I don't know. Where did it come from?
Here's the two important pieces. Reinhold is recovering in hospital, and this sounds like a British report, in hospital, and is expected to survive. The snake, meanwhile, is believed to have escaped.
This rogue ass snake out here. I love it. Anyways.
It was an eastern diamondback, the most dangerous venomous snake in North America.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be in Florida.
It's a potent hemotoxin.
Somebody got that shit out there.
Kills and causes tissue damage.
Wow.
The antivenom is widely available, but so he was okay. Nice. In the face,
dumbass.
He's a white man.
So this next story, I don't think you're going to be married.
You told me about this, and I deliberately didn't click on it, and I even see the thing. Oh,
it's pretty bad.
Break the news.
So Dogfish Head fights to protect its brand is the title of this. But Dogfish Head Brewery, which is a large independent brewer in Delaware, the largest, actually, has been going around suing other craft beer owners for various names. So an example of one is a man named Deepak Topiwala, who owns Namaste Brewing Company in Austin. And he received an email from his hero Dogfish Head Brewery owner, Sam Calagione. Instead of a congratulatory note, it was something else. It basically said that they owned the word Namaste. And that because they have a Namaste ale, you know, their Belgian wit is called Namaste, and that he was making him change the name of his brewery.
Is there more?
Oh, yes. There's much, much more. Of course, they changed their name. They couldn't afford to defend themselves. They're not made out of money. So they changed it to Kamala Gardens. But just this white dude now says he owns the name Namaste and won't let an Indian American business owner name his thing Namaste. Florida Keys Brewing Co., a smaller brewery in 2015, ended up changing the name of its popular Hogfish Amber in March after months of back and forth between the owners and Dogfish Head over the name similarity to their brewery, Hogfish Amber. That was just one of their beers. They weren't allowed to name their beer, their individual beer, Hogfish. Okay. And then another one is Craig McBrayer, 39-year-old engineer who invested his savings in Florida Keys Brewing. And they came up with Hogfish Amber because where they live in Florida, that's the fish everybody catches. They call it Hogfish. And that's why they came up with that. It has nothing to do with anything to do with trying to be like the name. And then there's another one who Kvasir Meadows. A nod to the Norse god of mythology. And he went through the business part, all the permits and everything. And he got an email that he had trademarked that name too for a seasonal wine that it does.
What's the name?
Kvasir KVASIR.
Yeah, Jesus fucking Christ. Mm-hmm. Dude. This is like kind of like Led Zeppelin stole all their shit.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a merging of patent trolling, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And craft brewing, and like Namaste is a beer versus a beer, like a brewery, and like for real, like a white dude telling an Indian dude, you can't, like, that we've patented Namaste in regards to beer. Cause you can have Namaste in a variety of other conditions. They're only going after beer people because that's what they're doing. It's beer, but that's just disgusting. And it's disgusting enough that I might have to not. And I wouldn't say fortunately their beer doesn't, the beer that I like from them, they're more like exotic reserve series, which we used to get on the regular because we had a friend that lived blocks from the brewery.
Yep.
That shit doesn't come out here to Michigan anyway. So I haven't even bought Dogfish in ages and ages and ages. And the stuff I have is cellared and I'll drink it. I won't throw beer away, but I don't know if I'll buy their beer much. That's kind of shitty.
Mm. Well, apparently Dogfish Head has experience with trademark infringement. Listen to this, which goes back at least a decade when Anheuser-Busch challenged Dogfish's ability to trademark the words chicory and pumpkin for their pumpkin ale, claiming the terms were too generic, and they won. They took that battle into the final 10 minutes.
And Budweiser lost?
Mm-hmm.
ABev, like that's a multi-billion-dollar fucking backing, and they lost to Dogfish Head?
Yep. So this other place, Al's of Hamden, its in-house brewery called Pizza Boy, they had Pizza Boy's Pumpkin Disorderly, P-U-N-K apostrophe I-N disorderly, and they sued them because it had pumpkin in it.
Wait, so no one can have the word pumpkin in their fucking...
No, pumpkin, like pumpkin, not pumpkin. There's no P. It's P-U-N-K-I-N.
And Dogfish has pumpkin?
They have pumpkin. Mm-hmm.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
It just like, and that one win has clearly given them brass balls and given their lawyer brass balls and just fucking, for fuck's sake. That's ugly.
This is what Sam has to say about it.
What's the tagline? Was Dogfish about making friends and good beer?
The thing is, they were the proponents of craft beer, like the craft beer owner. He's like a god in most of these craft beer people's eyes. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty sad to see that this is. I knew you were gonna be sad about it.
I am sad. That's probably if you said name my favorite brewery, it would have been Dogfish Head.
Here's what he had to say. Quote: "This is my least favorite part of our work here at Dogfish Head. Unfortunately, our company needs to protect our intellectual property just as intentionally and methodically with small breweries as we do with breweries that are hundreds of times bigger than Dogfish Head. And there are many breweries that are hundreds of times our size. We always try to resolve these issues brewer to brewer first, and we always try to be respectful to the companies we have to engage with on these issues. Frustrations are understandable on all sides, and that is a subjective part of all of this. We work hard to stick to the objective points when it comes to defending our brand and the intellectual property my coworkers and I have staked our livelihoods on since 1995 when we were the smallest commercial brewery in America."
So listen, that's we always try to solve this brewer to brewery. There was three instances where the first indication was a cease and desist.
No, the one guy said he got a letter from him and the letter was like, you can't use it.
Okay,
so it's not
right.
A cease and desist officially. It's just a like, by the way, in case you don't do this, I'm finna sue you. That's what it was.
It's a threat. I'm gonna flex my muscle. Yeah. We try to do it brewer to brewer.
Brewer to brewer. I told him I was gonna fuck him before I did it. Yeah. So lube up. Like, what the fuck?
Did you just say lube up? Dude?
I did. White people, I get bullied in school. I can't
wait till I'm No, oh, fucked up.
That's funny.
It's about time. Hold on, though. I gotta play it because that's not fair. We gotta get white people.
It was a good timing too. White people, I get bullied in school. I can't wait till I'm a cop so I can bully you. White people. Hey.
Hey. Hey. Hey. Hey. White people. God damn it! Fucking white people. Yeah, that's an excellent segue.
So, apparently, according to the New York Times, the Jamaican beef patty extends its reach.
You know, when I saw this, I literally saw this happen in real time, and you were asleep. It literally happened in the morning, and I fucking saw enough. I follow enough Caribbean people that was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, for this. And I knew it was going to, like, I'm like, Leslie's going to be so hot when she gets up and sees this. I couldn't even like tag you about it or nothing. Because I knew you were going to be pissed. Just like with me and Dogfish, I'm like, this is going to rub her.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. So the New York Times is now claiming that the Jamaican beef patty's time has come. and proceeds to write a whole ass article about this white dude in Kansas City who stole a recipe from his friend George, who runs a restaurant himself, a Jamaican restaurant in Kansas City, Missouri. So
yeah, I love that. You're like the beef patty has arrived, despite there being like probably like 100 like crusty fucking beef.
What are you talking about right now?
Franchises, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, isn't it crusty? Isn't that the one? What's the
golden crust?
Golden crust. There's probably 50 golden crusts in the United States, maybe even 100.
It's a lot of them.
The beef patty has arrived. Really? Because I've been eating it down on fucking
Columbus and ass douchebags. Anyways, I just was irritated by it even being like referred to in that regard.
We had more white people news this week.
So much white people news.
A lot.
A white Florida principal requests segregation of white students so they can be comfortable.
And this is actually like, we've had this on here and we've picked other things. What, read this article. I haven't read the
article. Christine Hoffman, principal at St. Petersburg, Florida's Campbell Park Elementary School, was removed from her school after asking teachers to segregate white students from black students so the white students could feel comfortable. Last week, Hoffman emailed her staff saying that white students who were all between ages 5 and 10 should be in the same class. Campbell Park Elementary student population includes 606 students and 49 are white. After sending out the email, Hoffman sent another one apologizing for her bad judgment, but it was too late. Once parents got wind of the email, they requested her firing. People who questioned Hoffman's motives about the decision included Denise Ford, a 53-year-old community member, and Ebony Johnson, a 37-year-old mother to a fifth grader at Campbell Park. Ford wanted to know if there was an ongoing bullying issue at school or if white parents said that they were uncomfortable. But of course, Hoffman said neither of those existed. Wow. Both women also wanted to know why Hoffman didn't make an effort to make students of other backgrounds feel comfortable. The parents said that as black people, we are used to being the only black person in the classroom and no one is making sure we're uncomfortable. The parents were not accepting of any excuse. We accept your apology, but you got to go. Yes, so listen, many.
This is a school of 600 plus students. Yeah. Only 49 were white.
Yeah.
Like, you, that fucker, you got fucking,
I just don't know how.
Like, so it didn't come from bullying or any other complaints. No, just from her own mind.
Her own, like, whoa, wait a minute.
We should have our own
class. These white kids, they're in the minority. They don't feel like they're accepted. Yeah,
and she does have to go
fuck.
Because whatever led her to that thought is. Fucker, you don't want around your black
Hell
child.
Hell no. Anywhere or anybody's near. Child. Not even yeah, just anybody's of child. Anybody's Thank child. You. You have so many Caucasian white parents who knew of this school being a low-graded school. If white students wanted their children to attend another school, they would have placed them there. They did not. So who is Mrs. Hoffman to decide to separate the whites from the blacks? Hoffman is now working at the school district's administrative offices until district officials decide what to do with her next.
Mm. I don't know whose argument that was, but like, your argument is this school sucks so bad, white people know anyway. If they're here, no big deal. Like, that's not a defense.
That was a black woman. She was like, why would she take this like leap when the parents that send their white kids there, like, they're aware of the diverse. They're
aware of the demographics.
They know the demographics and they put their child there. So obviously they're fine with them. So why the fuck would you make this like big leap? Anyways, so.
Because whiteness.
Yeah, for sure.
So I haven't played this video, I'll be honest. This happened again in Chicago. I guess I'll play it. It's a white guy who had coffee spilled
Trigger
on
warning.
His. Yeah, big time. White big dude time. Has his suit jacket, got a little coffee spilled on it and goes ballistic on a black customer apparently.
Putting news first. Pam Moore.
It's okay. It's not a short ad. 7 seconds. Pam Moore. Gary Radnich.
Fuck you, Gary Radnich.
Crown 4 Night. News.
Grab any of our kids. Don't you dare
for a thought that we're making a
slave.
You just use the word slave.
You are a worm. I will grab my name on your slave.
They're all filming. Why don't you stop? Intercede, get this guy out of there.
What is your name? Police. You did that,
I'm going to pause and let it catch up for a second. I think it's buffering. But he called him a slave. He's calling him all kinds of fucking shit. This is ridiculous.
Take me to the called a barcode called a social security number.
Assistance. Yeah, calls for assistance.
You're disgusting. Your children will die. You understand?
Yeah, go right though. It's on camera, bro.
Yes, and catch 35.
He's excited it's on camera, him spilling. I'm gonna stop. We need to watch the whole thing.
Well, no, the end is important. He spits on one of the guys, and the guy like goes.
No. Your children are disposable vermin. Ugh. Yeah. No such thing. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
He's like walking away.
Yeah.
He could have left.
He could have left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're
vermin,
bro. That's why you got caught, bro.
Yeah. See the people in their ice cream.
No security anywhere.
Finally, an older white guy. Oh, he just spit on him. Are you kidding me?
You have to describe what's happening.
So he spit on the black dude, and he's screaming at him, get on the floor, get on all fours. The older white dude intervened to keep the black guy from kicking his ass. He's in the middle of the street just shouting and pointing his finger.
I'll be back.
He says, I'll be back. He's walking. He's like halfway away from the place.
Yeah,
and there's still longer.
Is the worst.
What the fuck? He just randomly punched a black dude on the street?
Yep.
What the fuck?
A 59-year-old man.
And then people restrained him.
Yeah.
He just decided to punch this black dude that was walking by.
Yep. You can stop it now. That's the
end. Yeah, he started everything.
Oh, good. I don't say good, but the black dude that got spit on kicked the shit out of him and held him down until the cops showed up. Literally sitting on his chest holding him down. Holy fucking what the fuck? What's this dickbag's name?
His name is William Boucher, 23-year-old.
Billy Boucher. Look at his fucking picture, dude. That looks like a fucking racist piece of shit, dude.
23 years old. He yelled, your children are dispersible vermin. And he spit at the black guy. Get on all fours. Get on all fours.
He said,
do not walk on two legs. You don't deserve to walk on two legs.
He said, you should have a barcode on your back with your social security number.
Yeah.
And then he spit on him.
Yeah.
And literally that was a younger black guy. Was restrained by an older white dude that was actually like trying to get Boucher out of there. This older white guy finally, because everyone's just like filming it and like eating their fucking shit. Yeah, like literally all just like, oh, like there's 13 people with phones out. And finally this one older white dude's like, dude, just get out of here. Like pushed him like down the block. And then he turned back to spit on the younger black guy. And it was the older white guy that prevented black dude from kicking Billy Boucher's ass right then and there. Boucher's walking away. He's a block almost away from the place. And a completely not involved black dude is walking down the street. And Boucher's so racially fucking charged up. He fucking threw a haymaker at him and knocked him fucking down. Like literally. What the fuck, man? This is that
Trump's
fucking
America,
shit, dude.
Trump's America.
This is fucking for real. Two Trump's America.
Fiasco, I'm telling you, this is in Chicago. And all the white people that were just sitting there like eating their ice cream, like la la la.
Jesus.
Seriously.
Christ, man. That was fucking absurd.
It's gross.
Well, you know what? I have both of these links in there, but why don't you work this? Because I got to call mom really quick.
Okay.
One second.
I got it.
Where's I? Hello, Mom. Oh, all right, Mom's there. Mom, we have a study. Body camera footage reveals officers speak more respectfully to whites than blacks.
Okay, they're racist.
Oh,
okay. Thanks,
so that's
Mom.
It? So whole study. A whole study where we should have just...
This next one, Mom, says minorities who, quote unquote, whiten their resumes are more likely to get interviews.
Duh, I know they're racist.
Oh, okay. Thanks,
okay.
Mom.
See ya.
So they're just racist. Cool.
So this two studies this week, or this since last month, both of you could have just called Mom.
She could have just told you. They're racist. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, that is what we said. The two studies that came out. We literally said exactly what they said. And
body
yeah.
camera footage reveals officers speak more respectfully to whites. Duh. Shocking.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah.
You know, and what's our, do I have a soundbite? We never made a soundbite for.
Yeah, you were supposed to do.
Girls Around the World. Do
yeah,
I have that?
I thought you
one
did.
One second. Give me just a second.
I you
can
you had it.
Do a, what do they call that? Vamp.
I don't have any vamping.
You can't vamp?
There's no vamping.
You can't vamp.
Vamping list.
Oh, I do. Hold on.
So this week I'm shouting out Stacey Abrams, a Georgia politician, Democrat, who aims to be the nation's very first female black governor ever in the history of this entire country. Has there been a black woman that has served as governor of a state here? And she is running for the governorship of Georgia. It's a history making campaign. She made it official. She's 43-year-old Democratic leader of the Georgia State House already. She's been she enters as the front runner for her party's nominations and is aiming to break that record and become the first black woman to be governor of a state. So it's kind of exciting. It won't be easy, of course, because a Democrat has not won a statewide office in Georgia since 2006.
Wow.
2006, y'all. Yeah. And just 11 black women have ever been elected to statewide positions nationwide.
11?
11. Yeah. One.
What the fuck?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I mean, black women are not represented in government at all, which is just ironic because truthfully, like, that would solve so many problems if it was just all black women.
I've tweeted, just listen to black women, dear media, save yourself the embarrassment, hire black women. Like, you and I both said the world would be a lot better if there's a lot more black women.
So anyway, shout out to Stacey. I think it's super dope. She also was one of the Woke 100 in Essence last month, so...
dope, you know, black girls.
By proxy, we're friends. Anyways, you can go to stacyabrams.com to check out her her platform and more about her campaign. If you want to support her and if you're in Georgia, please vote for her.
Please do. I can't get over the fact that would be the first ever female African-American, black female governor.
Ever.
Governor, ever. Edward, it's 2017. Ever? That's, I guess, it, of course, I couldn't name one, but that still seems... like an eternity. Yes, all caps. This week's installment is Carl Dabady. I don't know how you pronounce this fuck ass name. Carl Dabady tells Mayor Sharon Weston Broom firing the officer involved in Alton Sterling shooting would be improper. So I'm not even going to bother, but so, you know, good for Mayor Sharon Weston Broom's call to have the officer involved in Alton Sterling shooting fired. That's the mayor saying you should let this person go. But I'll read Chief DeBatty, whatever's fucking letter back to Mayor Sharon Weston Broom. In your letter to me, you urge me to re-examine paid administrative leave and disciplinary action for officers Howie Lake II and Officer Blaine Salamone. We have discussed on several occasions that it would be improper for me to prematurely hand down discipline on either officer in question. And he capitalized officer. Is that, I don't know why that pisses me off. Mm-hmm. Either officer in question, while a pending criminal investigation is still underway. Mm-hmm. The Baton Rouge Police Department, also capitalized, has always allowed due process to be completed for officers when criminal conduct is alleged. Always. One of the possible violations of Baton Rouge Police Department policy is violation of law. Neither officer has been charged with a violation of law to date. In such cases, the pre-disciplinary hearing is not held until the officer is arrested, indicted, or cleared in a criminal investigation. I feel that waiting for all the evidence in this case to be gathered is the most prudent course of action I can take at this time. I urge you to reconsider your position and let the criminal process conclude. Fuck you, Carl DeBatty. Mm. It's always like, let justice do its course. Let due process. Like, really, since when has like justice ever fucking been like... equal and appropriate and fucking...
But like, they're just literally not even listening to the mayor. They're like, nah, bitch, whatever you said, we ain't doing that.
And his excuse was, we serve all the law, including not breaking the law if no law has been broken. And so they haven't been charged with anything. So
like, it's such trash.
Like, fucking, like, it's like double speak bullshit. And like, honestly, like, just write you don't want to do it. Nah, I ain't gonna do that, Sharon. Deuces.
Yes.
Fucking yes, all cops. Yes, I just, cops, you know, and I really, I've talked with other friends and stuff about this. I used to think that I was like, well, you know, I'm not really anti like individual police and, you know, I'm not like this or that. I'm like so firm and a police abolitionist camp now. They don't serve any function other than to harass black people and make white people feel comfortable. And that's not needed. That I don't want to pay taxes for that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think there needs to be cops. And I call me whatever, but that's my position. Police abolitionist. And like, I don't know what that looks like afterwards. Smarter people than me think and do that. But we don't need these cops. So what, you know, talking about TV and movies? We've been watching, there's been a lot.
We've been watching so much stuff.
Quite a bit.
So much stuff. So much stuff. I had this thing about Jimmy Fallon's a little late now, but I wanted to just talk about it because, you know, it was this like long puffy piece written by Dave Itzkoff in the New York Times about, you know, how everything has gone wrong and everybody's so unfair to the amazing Jimmy Fallon since he had Donald Trump on his show and like ruffled his hair and everything. And I just was like, you don't get to play victim after you helped, you know, normalize and bring this dude into people's homes and ruffle his hair and make him seem cool and really like, you know, just like one of us type of bullshit. You don't get to do that. Fuck you, Jimmy Fallon. I ain't never watching your show again. Zach at the dentist, what's this?
Oh, shit, I gotta play this. Did you not see it?
No, I don't know what it is.
Okay, here. You could play it in real time at the same time.
Okay.
I'm gonna press it now. Wait, I haven't pressed it yet.
Oh. Oh, it has a commercial. Mine does anyways.
Yeah, so does mine.
Okay. Did you press play already, though?
Yeah, I'm on the commercial. I'm trying to get rid of it. It won't finish playing the commercial.
It's so
bad. I feel like my internet's shitting again.
It was bad yesterday or this morning. It was bad. Okay, is it on it now?
Comcast. Yeah, it's just starting now.
I understand you had a little bit of unpleasantness recently. You had your wisdom teeth pulled.
Yeah, mere days ago, I had all four.
Days
wisdom.
Ago.
Yeah, days ago.
How are you feeling?
Well, I feel okay now, but in the immediate aftermath, I wasn't so good because I'm very sensitive to chemicals, and they gave me laughing gas.
They give you laughing gas?
Yeah, and they were like really relaxed about it. They were like, this is nothing. It'll wear off quickly.
Everyone has this. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But immediately when they put it on, I felt myself go cuckaroo. And
cuckaroo.
I started, in the middle of the procedure, I kept asking the woman who was doing the procedure, is time passing? and she was like, yeah, it's always passing. And I was like, but now? What about now? Is it passing now? And she said, well, time's a construct, so maybe we're moving and time is standing still. And I was like,
what? Amazing... That is some deep thinking dentist you've got.
Yeah, it was very frightening, but it was exciting. And then when I got out, I was still high because it lasted a long time. And my mom was there and she picked me up and I was so punchy that we got into the garage where my car was, and we passed these two kind of like frat guys. And I said in full voice to my mom, I went, get a load of these sluts. And my mom was like, she's like, stop, Zach, get in the car. I was like, let's get you a cup of coffee. She's like, you're bleeding on the street. So I eventually got in the car.
Now, were you anxious about having this procedure beforehand?
Yeah, because I knew I had this today and I was worried that I was going to be messed up still.
Right.
So I didn't know if I'd be able to talk. So I thought like, well, if I'm mute, I got to record. I recorded you a message right after, because before the drugs wore off, I thought once the drugs wear off, maybe I can't talk. So I'll make a message for Conan now so that if I can't talk, he'll have a message.
Oh, no. So you recorded a message to me right after, while you're still under the effects of the laughing gas?
Right after I called those guys sluts, I made a video for you.
This is real.
That's real.
This is real. I haven't seen this. No. I want to see this.
Okay.
Let's take a look at you. This is moments after having your wisdom teeth out. Let's take a look.
Hello, Conan. I had a procedure, and I've decided that we should both begin a career as drug addicts, because drugs feel phenomenal.
Drugs feel phenomenal.
I feel there's blood on my teeth. It's very gory what you're watching. Oh my goodness.
It looks like shit.
Racist. I'm coming right now to get the demure Victorian woman.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that, Trace.
Of course.
That you were worried about me at that time.
I was very concerned. I got in the car and I was like, I have to make a message for Conan.
Yeah.
My mom was like, maybe we should get home first.
Yeah.
Maybe we should get home first. That made me laugh. It's such a good idea. Jared earlier talking about you don the skin of the beast and you, a little bit inside you dies.
That's hilarious. So we had him on twice.
Yeah. His actual name is Zach. I shouldn't call him Jared, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have this season finale grades. What's this? You want to talk about the season?
Well, I just want to talk about a few of them.
You have the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., The Flash, and Supergirl. All CW. No, yeah. Two CW and one on NBC. But okay. I mean, Jesus, is there any contest? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was the fucking the shit. That whole season was hype.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was hype. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was dope. They brought back fucking Ghost Rider and it was so good and so dope and everything. So I really gave that like an A.
So now The Flash.
The Flash, I'm sorry. Here's this the thing. Season was its worst season yet.
Here's the thing, too. I feel like, and can we spoiler alert? Are people going to be mad if we talk about this shit? It's been a while. It's been like more than a couple weeks. So spoiler alert, if you haven't watched The Flash, stop listening. Mm-hmm. But the whole like Iris's death and fucking, you know, Emo Barry fucking slash Savitar, like when you thought Iris was dead at the end of like the penultimate episode, mm-hmm. that should have been the season finale. And that whole next episode that was the season finale, it was like a Who Shot JR fucking Eraser.
It was terrible.
It kind of was like, that's fucking
good night.
Bullshit.
You're dumb.
I'm not saying you're dumb.
Well,
but
don't.
Like,
no, I just thought it was lazy. I thought it was.
It was
really,
lazy. It's
like
a Who Shot JR Eraser. It was like, oh, Roseanne was like, oh, no, Dan's really dead. The whole thing's a dream. Like, fucking what the? Come on. That's some bullshit.
Yeah, it was. So I give it a C.
If you had said that the penultimate episode was the season finale, I would have given it like an A minus, B plus.
But alas, it wasn't.
Yeah. Then they had the fuckery that was the actual season finale. Supergirl. Mm-hmm. And it was
Supergirl
so long ago. I forget.
Was good. Supergirl. Well,
What was the?
Well, she won an end.
Of course. But what was the big? It doesn't matter. I can't remember it, so it must not have been that indelible. But I dig Supergirl. I like the show. Are you looking for the season finale notes?
No, I wasn't looking. I'm just looking at the other stuff we were talking about. Okay, so yeah, I would give Supergirl. It was really good. I thought it was very like girl power.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Oh, because they defeated fucking what's her name, the Desperate Housewives woman, and all her fucking
Terry Hatcher.
Terry Hatcher. Yeah. She was the baddie.
But she lost her boy. She lost her boyfriend.
That's right.
So that was good. But anyways, I thought it was really good. I give it a B plus.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then we saw some movies, some good, some not so good. We saw Alien Covenant. It's trash. I actually don't even need to talk about it anymore. Rod has covered it.
Did Rod hate it too, I hope?
Yes. Oh, it's the worst.
It was
bad. No. Rod loved it because he really liked Prometheus. Oh. And he had been telling people, like, if you didn't like Prometheus, don't go see this movie because it's not going to be any different than Prometheus.
I fucking hated Prometheus.
We hated Prometheus Alien and we Covenant. Hated this too. So
yeah, my nephew loves that Prometheus shit. And he's like, it was pretty cool. It was awesome. It was amazing. So he probably loved Alien Covenant.
You have to ask
but
him.
It had some good gore. Yeah. You know, like, had some good alien gore, but nah. It's not. I'm not here with any of these. Like, mm-hmm. I need Sigourney Weaving her back with the aliens.
Yep.
It's not good.
Then we saw Wonder Woman, which we both really liked.
And I'm not trying to like critique shit. It got 50 million in like week two. It's obviously doing well. Like a lot of DC movies, I thought it was just a tad too long. There was a bit I would have edited out maybe. I'm not sure where. But, you know, for me, I tracked just a little bit too long. But I thought they did a much better job with fight scenes. Her fight scenes in particular, I thought were really dope. Like the shit that bogged down Batman, Superman, and some of the other, you know, DC efforts, I thought were not in Wonder Woman at all. I thought her backstory was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I might have maybe spent a little bit less time in the beginning in Amazonia.
Yeah. No, I like that part.
Yeah, like I said, I felt like it could have been like a few minutes shaved off of it, but that's
no,
maybe.
Definitely. I mean, I feel like all these superhero movies are like that. Like,
yeah, DC in particular.
I just do that. So I don't know anything about this other link about Wonder Woman or something.
It was really, it was a troll back from, and it's like, it's super dated, but it was
Austin. Don't worry about it then.
You know, Austin Draft House had the women only showings.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
And somebody wrote into the mayor to complain and the mayor trolled back in like pretty good fashion. But like I said, it's a little dated now.
Mm-hmm. Then the Black Panther trailer got released on Sunday and the world pretty much fucking stopped. It's the blackest shit ever. It's going to be so fucking amazing. I cannot wait. I honestly can't wait. I'm only praying that Trump doesn't like blow up the universe before then because
I follow tons of black women and like more than one was like, I fucking think I'm pregnant just watching that thing.
Literally.
Like I moan.
I think I said in, should I? I'm not going to say that on the air. Never mind.
Yeah, you can keep that.
Yeah, I'll keep that alone.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you finally got me to catch up on Master of None.
Yes!
We binged both seasons.
We did.
And I don't know how I missed the first one. You must have been watching them late nights when you're having insomnia.
I know.
Or
I think I was I watched it on one of my longer trips in the fall.
You were away for bunches of weeks.
I was away for like, you know, during the revival.
I think you
tour.
Even told me like, oh, you should be watching this. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I even told you to watch it while I was gone since you would have the same time I did. And somehow all you did was play video games or something. I don't know.
I didn't have video games at that moment.
Well, I don't know
thanks.
What you did, but you didn't watch it.
Whatever. So you watch The Path. I don't. So you have to talk about that shit.
The Path. I just was saying that I watched it. It's on Hulu. It was actually really good. It took kind of some twists and turns this season that I was surprised by. The acting is always really superb. I love Aaron Paul. I love Michelle Moynihan. And they both were really great. And Billy Crudup is in it also. And they're all really good. No, not Billy Crudup. What's that guy's name?
Oh, Will, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Anyways, that dude's in it. That white dude with the like pale hair. But I do think he's the one that's married to... I thought he was the one that was married to Claire Danes, but now I'm thinking maybe he's not the one that's married to Claire Danes.
Anyways, all those white people look alike. You're so mean. Yeah, oh, my God. You're so racist.
See, especially white men on TV. Y'all look exactly the same.
You're so racist.
The same. Y'all are interchangeable consistently. Hold on. It's bothering me. I don't know his name.
Go to IMDb.
I'm going to it right now.
Well, we also...
Hugh Dancy. That's his name. And he is the one that's married to Claire Danes.
Okay.
Blabam.
Blammo. And that's probably a better moniker. Mr. Claire Danes is probably more familiar than his actual name.
We've only just started watching The Handmaid's Tale, but I'm kind of into it. I'm interested to see how it comes out.
You know, there's this thing, though, like and maybe it's because I'm reading Parable of the Talents and just read Parable of the Sower.
Mm-hmm.
Something about like dystopias that they're just a little bit not too real, but there's like hallmarks of our current administration and some other fuckery. I don't know if Handmaid's Tale is going to go that way, but shit that's like just dystopic in nature sometimes is a little bit like, I don't need to fucking delve too much into that at this moment, I guess. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. Again, maybe it's just because the Parable of Talents is like so fucking like accurate. Seems probable.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's true.
But Handmaid's Tale, I'm here for it. I love what's her name, Moss, Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah, you've loved her since like West Wing days.
So. Yeah, yeah, I totally, absolutely, I dig her. I think she's a good actress.
Yeah, and then we got the bad news that Netflix canceled both The Get Down and Sense8. So that's kind of crappy. But I get it; they're kind of expensive, or not kind of, they're incredibly expensive.
Yeah,
so
I got to be honest. I thought. Honestly, both Sense8 and Get Down were billed as like one season things. Like I don't remember
Get Down being
meant to be picked up. I felt like the Get Down told a story that was meant to be told in one season. At least to me, it felt like that.
I don't think you've seen the season then, if you'd say that. Because I
meant the
don't.
First season.
This is the first season. This is just the second half of the first season. They just broke it up. It wasn't. Like this is still the first season that just finished.
Oh, I'm thinking this is the second season
they're
running.
It's not.
Oh. That's strange that they're canceling it. I guess it's expensive as fuck. Baz Luhrmann ain't fucking
Baz
cheap.
Baz is terrible. But also they knew it was Baz, so I guess it is whatever.
Yeah. And Sense8, I don't know. I didn't like that they changed the one character, and then I felt like they spent too much time on the wrong characters. For me, I didn't care as much about some of the folks they were spending time with. I don't even know if I finished this season of Sense8. And is this a season, or is this part two of the first season still?
Mm-hmm.
On Sense8, do you know? Is this actually season two or three?
This is season two for them.
Okay.
And that's all we're going to get.
All right.
So that's all we want to talk about TV-wise. Oh, I have been watching The Bachelorette. So The Bachelorette, or how you say it.
Bachelorette.
Yeah, whatever. Men are terrible.
We're going to start uncoupling, I think. I'm hoping to...
Not from each other, be
no,
clear.
No, cable. Please. Uncoupling cable. Uncoupling cable.
Doesn't sound like that, you know.
You're right. We're going to start uncoupling. You're right. Unbundling. Cutting the cord. We're going to be cutting the cable cord. We bought a antenna and a TiVo Romeo over the air.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start... We got to wait for the Daily Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, just popped up in my feed here. Something is happening tonight that I didn't think was going to happen. Marissa and I are going to be on TBDWT tonight.
Oh, wow. There you go.
So I'll be putting this up before that. So if you're hearing this now, you listen right away. You're really waiting for the John. You can hear me tonight on the Blackout Tips. Or if not, you can listen to it in replay. So that'll be interesting tonight. I think that's it. Good show.
No, it wasn't.
We got through all the things.
You know, we thought we were going to have to do longer.
We put all the stuff in.
I know. Talked
about all the white people.
I'm saying in our apology 7-point key.
Mm-hmm.
I said we were going to offer repair by doing an extra long episode. I don't know if this is an extra
long. How
long
is it?
It's only an hour and 20 minutes. Mm. But here's the thing.
What's the thing?
What's our average episodes per month been? Two?
Yeah. Every other week, pretty much.
Every other week. Okay. Mm-hmm. Offer of repair. We're going to get 3 a month for June and July. We can do it. Oh, no, not June. July and August. We'll get 3 in the next 4 weeks. For 8 week period.
I'm not making any of those promises. Yeah. I'm promising to whatever we have it scheduled, I'll be recording then. So
yeah, but
that's all I'm able to promise right now.
And what do we schedule it? Biweekly? I thought we scheduled every week.
I don't know.
Well, I'll have to talk to your assistant to look at the schedule.
You will.
You know, she says that. Like, that's not even a joke. She's like, talk to my sister.
I don't know my schedule, so.
It's a lot.
It's too much.
It's a lot. Can you hear our dog snoring in the background? I don't know if anybody can.
Mm, she's definitely doing that, though. Yeah, all right. Well, I think that's it. We're so glad to be back. We had to leave y'all for a little bit. We have finally worked out all of the scheduling kinks, and it will be, you know, a little bit different for us. It won't be like end of our days. It'll be the middle of a day, but I think it'll be great.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I mean, we work from home. We should have been doing it this way all the time.
Yeah.
Y'all finished or y'all done?
Good night, everybody.
High five.